Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, it's an NBA playoff preview of sorts. Cody Taylor, NBA writer for Basketball Insiders, joins us on the podcast. We preview the playoffs a little bit, talk about the MVP race, the Coach of the Year race. It's an all-MVP, all-NBA version of the Beer Garden, I should say. We'll get to Cody in just a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. It's on Highway 6 West in Oxford, right next to the Oxford Exxon. You can enter now to for a chance to win a grand prize, the Golden Isles Getaway to the King and Prince Resort. You can do that online at crystal.com. You can also do it in the stores. And then when you go in the stores into the Oxford Crystal, there on Highway 6 West, grab 10 crystals, 10 wings for $10. That's all day. You can get the Crystal's bigger breakfast combo each morning, fresh cracked eggs, none of that powdered stuff. And you also get the French toast sticks now with the log cabin syrup. You get the heads or tails combo, the double dozen combo with 24 shrimp, medium fry and a drink, or the surf and turf combo, 12 shrimp, two crystals, medium fry and a drink. You get the happy hour, 59-cent crystals, 59-cent ices. As warm as it's already getting here in mid-April, that's a perfect mid-afternoon treat, if you ask me. All of that at the Oxford Crystal in Oxford, Highway 6 West. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes within business hours. And then all you have to do is let Corey and the people there at Clark Ford do for you what they have done for customers from Texas, Missouri, Louisiana, all over Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's nice and simple. It's easy, right to the bottom line. You get your deal done, get your new car, and start enjoying it. All of that at Clark Ford. And then when you do it, at the very end of your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the podcast. I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast, the Beer Garden podcast. You can mention the Oxford Exxon podcast. Either one, $500 off the bottom line right there at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. The podcast also brought to you by Snooze Mattress Company. Snooze, 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford. It is the place to go for all of your bedding needs. I know people that did it just yesterday. You can go in. They've got a great selection, all the name brands you know and love, Jameson, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, linens, accessories, mattress protectors, bed frames. They have delivery and setup options that you just can't get from the normal guys. They go above and beyond. There's a personal touch there at Snooze. Jacob Williams and his team do a great job. You can get in touch with them. Check out their inventory at gosnooze.com. Now let's go to our NBA preview. NBA playoffs begin on Saturday, and here's Cody Taylor of NBAinsiders.com. So Cody, first of all, thanks for joining me. I follow your work on Twitter. I read your stuff all the time. It's a treat to have you on as a guy who covers college football and college basketball for a living and is a closet NBA junkie. It's a treat.
No problem, man. Glad to join you.
All right. So first, before we get into that, I have to ask you. I saw you mention on Twitter today that you're doing the paleo diet. Just how hard is that?
Oh man, it's really tough. Considering you know you're not allowed to have dairy or any carbs or anything like that. So I've started before and then kind of broke it off. But I remember when I first started it, you know, not having those carbs and not eating like rice, for instance, it was a shock to my body for sure. I'm pretty good with it now, but there are still times, especially when I commented on that on Twitter when I see somebody you know, post a picture of a donut, of a couple donuts, a Fruity Pebbles donut and a cookie dough one, where I'm like, oh man. So
what's the one thing you catch yourself craving the most that you can't have?
Oh man, it's, to be honest, it could be like anything, especially like if I'm out and I see other people eating something, but usually it's like some sort of pasta or, you know, spaghetti or something like that. Or I'll smell something and that'll be the case. Like, as far as like drinks go, I'm pretty good. I don't drink soda anymore. So I drink a lot of water. So the drinking part is not a big deal. It's the food. And occasionally you'll smell something or see a picture of a donut on Twitter, you know, but I picked it mainly because like you can eat meat and I love eating meat. So that was a huge factor for me. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
How much weight have you lost?
Initially, when I first started it, I lost about 12 pounds. I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit, and now I'm back down. I'm about 8 pounds lighter now. So I haven't quite set a goal, but it helps when I start seeing some weight loss.
Well, congratulations. I was just kind of interested in it. I've just tried to be one of those people that just sort of exercise my way to weight loss so that I exercise so that I can eat, I think. All right, let's talk some hoops while I got you. I saw where earlier today you said your MVP vote is Russell Westbrook. How close do you think it's going to be? And one of the comments you made that I thought was interesting was most of the players think it will be Westbrook. Do the players think it should be Westbrook, or do they think it will be?
From the players I've talked to, they think it should be. And you ask how close it is. I was asked today, I did a radio hit today, and, you know, they pretty much asked me, like, is it a foregone conclusion that Russell Westbrook is going to win? And I said, not according to my timeline on Twitter, because I feel like every day I'm logging on and I'm seeing the debate between Westbrook and Harden. And as you mentioned, if I had a vote, I would definitely vote for Westbrook. I think what he's done, it obviously hasn't gone unnoticed, but I think he needs to, because when we look back on the 2016-17 season, the main thing we're going to think about is Westbrook and his triple-double streak and his record. So I think, when we look back on this year, it'll be crazy to think that he didn't win if it should go to Harden. And it's unfortunate for Harden, because any other year, I feel like he's right there in the mix to win, if not the front runner. So I think what he's done, and of course Harden has had triple doubles too. I think he finished with 22, 23 triple doubles, whatever it was. He's having a great run. But for me, when you take Westbrook off of that team, they're not good. And I know you can make the same argument for Harden as well, but it's to the point now where we see Westbrook, and there have been games where he's scored 45 points and the Thunder have still managed to lose. So I just think that goes to show just how valuable he is to that Thunder team.
Yeah, Sam Presti built that team to support an offense that was built around Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And mm-hmm. So you take Durant away, and, you know, they don't really have shooters. Abrines has shot the ball fairly well, but he's a rookie. McDermott came in, and he can shoot the ball, but he doesn't give them a lot. Their best shooter from three-point land really all season was Jeremy Grant, which speaks volumes to your point. It's a team that was built for Durant, and Durant's not there. And that's kind of my argument for Westbrook, is that he has square peg round hole the whole season.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I mean, I also think it goes to show. I read an article today by Royce Young on ESPN, talking at great length about Westbrook and his run. And it pretty much came down to Westbrook just at the beginning of the year, putting everything on his shoulders. And he, you know, it mentioned that he didn't even, before he signed his extension, he didn't even care who was on the team. He just, took it upon himself to do that. And he, and you know, they got an addition with Oladipo on draft night last year. But I mean, when you look at the rest of that team, I think they fit the mold perfectly of a great regular season team, and we saw that. And now when you can start to game plan against Westbrook and the rest of that team in the playoffs from game to game, I think it changes a lot. And, you know, if you're the Rockets, you almost just will let Westbrook do whatever he wants to do, knowing that's not going to be enough. We'll let him do what he wants to do, and we'll stop the rest of these guys. So, you know, to his credit, to Westbrook's credit, I mean, he's single-handedly carried them this far.
I'm curious because I agree with you. I think Westbrook's probably going to win. James Harden's had a fantastic season. The coach of the year voting is a lot of different opinions. It looks like Mike D'Antoni appears to be the favorite. Is it just because of the special season that Westbrook had, or is it some other dynamic that the Rockets are this maybe the league's most overachieving team, certainly the most overachieving team in the West, and yet the credit goes more to D'Antoni than it does to Harden?
Yeah, I think so. And I do think that D'Antoni is the front runner. And I've seen, you know, we talked about Eric Spoelstra, and there are some other guys in the mix as well. But, you know, when we think of Mike D'Antoni, we know this is his style of offense. We saw it with the Suns. Not as much with the Knicks, but we know this is what he does. And for him to bring this to the Rockets and completely transform that team into what they are now, you know, we're not having this conversation I don't think we're having this conversation right now about James Harden being in the MVP race if it's not for D'Antoni. And what strikes me most about this team is, you know, we know they have shooters on that roster, and they're perfectly fine putting up 53-point shots a game. And, you know, on some nights they have more 3-point shots than they do 2-point attempts as well. So, and for them to have the success that they're having James Harden, I mean, and credit to Mike D'Antoni too as well, because he's pretty much just given everything to James Harden, knowing that he's such a great player that he's going to find the open guy. He's going to make the right pass more often than not. And I think and he's completely changed the notion about James Harden as well, because I mean, coming into this year and in the past years, we've always kind of laughed at James Harden passing the ball. We've always kind of, you know, viewed him as a ball stopper at points of games as well. So I think it really goes to show just how much Mike D'Antoni has done this year.
Yeah. Their whole scheme, obviously Harden was so disappointed last year in the season that he had. And you look at their scheme this year, and early in the year, I thought, yeah, they're putting these wins together, but people are going to eventually scheme them and they're going to stop them, and they're not going to be able to just outscore people. And that never caught up to them. Does that catch up to them in the playoffs now that people can really lock in on one team?
If there were a time, I think it would be now. And I'm still not, I don't want to say I'm not convinced that can happen, because you start getting these coaches and, you know, they're game planning from game to game, and their strategy in game one could be completely different than game two. So I think if it were to happen, it would be now. But as much as I have liked watching Westbrook and the Thunder this year play, I don't think that they're going to hold, you know, they're not going to get past the Rockets in the first round. So I think if there were going to be a team that would be able to stop them and do these sort of things that we haven't seen teams be able to do with the Rockets, I think it would come in the second round and even deeper than that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to next. Is there's a lot of people out there saying the most intriguing series is Oklahoma City and Houston, and obviously the Westbrook-Harden dynamic does make that fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the most likely series for an upset, though. Do you?
No, I don't. And it's kind of, you know, looking at the playoffs this year, it seems harder than it has in recent years to pick an upset, I guess. You know, the 1-8 in either conference, I don't really think Portland might get a game or two, you know, but It would probably, my bet would probably have to be that 4-5 matchup with the Clippers and Jazz. Given, I mean, both teams finished with the same record, and I mean, we saw the Clippers won the season series, but you know, we know that the Clippers are very top heavy. They have guys that can score so much talent at the top of that roster and can put up a ton of points, but the Utah Jazz have had one of the best defensive, efficiencies over the last 2-3 years, and arguably have one of the defensive player of the year on their roster in Rudy Gobert. So
he should win
in that series. Right. I mean, and there have been cases where, and this year, when you look at Kawhi Leonard, who we know has won in the past, but I don't think it's just a throw-in to win again this year. I think you can definitely make the case for Draymond Green, Rudy Gobert, and even Kawhi. So as far as the Clippers and Jazz, I mean, that I really could see going either way, and I wouldn't even be surprised if that were to go 6 or even 7 games.
Can Utah keep that team together? Does Hayward stay in Utah this offseason? I mean, let's say they knock off the Clippers and they lose in the second round. Is that enough for those guys to all stay together?
That's a good question. And I go back and forth on that. I think it could be, because this is a Jazz team that we haven't seen have a lot of success. And also another reason why I think the Clippers will take that series is because they have so much playoff experience. We know they haven't made it very far, the Clippers, but they've been there year after year. So they have that experience. I think that, you know, getting a taste of the playoffs and getting in there for Hayward and doing some things, maybe even going to the West Finals, if something were to fall their way, could be beneficial for them in the long run. I know there's going to be a number of teams just lining up and you know, trying to get them. But I think at the end of the day, players do like winning, unless you just completely set up with what's happening there. And by all accounts, it appears as though it's a well-run organization. So the money's going to be there. And, you know, coming off an appearance in the playoffs, you know, the future's bright there. So I think all signs would indicate that he would stay. But as we've seen, anything can happen.
Yeah, the Thunder say hello. In that scenario, would the Clippers have to blow it up? I mean, they've been trying with this group for a while now, Cody, and if they don't get it done now, no one's getting any younger. Golden State's still there. The Spurs are awfully good. The Rockets will still be intact. We'll talk about what happens with Westbrook maybe in a minute, but, I mean, Denver's getting better. I mean, there's things are going to happen. If you're the Clippers, I guess a really bad question shortened, the window is starting to really close. And if they were to get knocked off by Utah, they'd have to do some soul searching, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they really would. And I think that was one of the biggest storylines coming into the season, because we know Chris Paul and Blake Griffin have the ability and will almost 100% use that ability to become a free agent. JJ Redick will be an unrestricted free agent. So there's going to be a lot of things there to consider. And I mean, granted, we hear these players at throughout the year say all the right things, and, you know, both sides are being nice and saying that they'd love to have the other, you know, but when it comes really time in the summer, when, you know, money's starting to get handed out, that's when things start to change. And, you know, I think it takes is a Blake Griffin thinking, you know, I can go to whatever team, fill in the blank, I can go here. And then maybe Chris Paul starts to think about it. And it's like, well, I can join up with, you know, whoever and go here. So I think it really only takes the one player to kind of see the writing on the wall and opt to leave. But if you're the Clippers, I think you definitely have to try to keep those guys at all costs if you can, because, I mean, when you look at the alternative, you're going to be left with DeAndre Jordan and some of those other guys on that team. And then, you know, the future, they don't really have a whole lot of assets coming in. You know, I don't know their draft future right offhand, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think they have a lot of incoming picks, to say the least. So if you're them, you got to do everything you can to try to keep these guys.
Cleveland did not finish the season probably the way that Tyronn Lue and and that organization wanted them to. Yet there's this sense among people, I think in large part because of the way that they disposed of Boston a week or so ago, that they'll be able just to flip the switch. They have in the past, and they still have the greatest player on the planet on their team, though he's not the defensive player that he was the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Do you buy that with Cleveland, that they can flip the switch, or are they vulnerable at some point in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
I think eventually they're going to be vulnerable. I don't think that time is this season. I do think that when the playoffs start this weekend, when they play that switch, they can flip that switch. And as you mentioned, we saw what they did to the Boston Celtics, and you know, all stars played that game, and we saw what they did to them. So, you know, I do think that once the playoffs start, they'll just be able to go in and, for the first time, probably all season, they are as healthy as they've been. Especially when you look at, you know, Kevin Love's there, J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert was injured at times. Kyle Korver missed a few games there at the end. You know, and so with them being as healthy as they are, then I do think that they're just, I mean, in my opinion, I would just pencil them in against the Celtics or whoever comes out of the top side of that bracket. And what we saw LeBron James do in the finals last year, the back-to-back 41-point games, I think, you know, he's got that in the tank at all times if he needs to use it.
I think Milwaukee's a threat to Toronto. Have I lost my mind?
You know what? I don't think so. When I was looking at the matchups last night when they were announced, you know, I took a couple of minutes to kind of think about that because, you know, coming into the season, we all pretty much thought it would be either Boston or Toronto that would challenge the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference, and for whatever reason, I still just don't. I'm not comfortable putting the Raptors in that same group with the Cavaliers. And I mean, I know they got Kyle Lowry back, they got Serge, PJ Tucker, but I'm still just not sold on them. We've seen how they played against the Cavs in the past, but and then to see them match up against the Milwaukee Bucks team that, you know, finish the season out pretty strong. That's probably not the matchup that they wanted. You know, obviously any of these teams are capable of beating the other, but I'm very excited to watch Giannis this series and see what he does. He's been fascinating. You know, a lot of people have been writing him in as most improved, so, and rightfully so, and possibly the rookie of the year and Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, somebody's got to win it, but you know, I'm very excited to see that series. I think it's probably the most underrated series in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and Jason Kidd's done a really good job with that team. He doesn't get credit for it because some other guys, I mean, you know, Stevens, Scott Brooks with Washington's done a fantastic job. And I mean, so he's kind of fallen off, but that's a young team, and Middleton was hurt for a while, and they sort of survived it. They're kind of scary. I mean, I don't think they're good enough to make a deep run, but if you told me they knocked off Toronto and won a playoff series, I wouldn't be shocked. And I don't know. I'm like you with Toronto. I catch myself cheering for them when I watch them on television. That's not the right word. I'm interested in them, and I find them to be fun to watch. But I don't have any trust in them. And maybe it's because of the way that they just could not win a game in Cleveland a year ago, and that was part of the deal. And I don't know. There's something about their team that I catch myself saying that they're missing something.
Yeah, and I think that goes into more validity of the Bucks and where they are right now, because I mean they even lost Jabari Parker as well, and he was playing the best basketball that he's played since coming back from his first injury, and then Middleton's only played 35 games, something like that, and to have him back, that was, you know, I think we kind of saw all season they were hanging their hat on him coming back and doing, you know, adding a big boost. So I think that just goes more to show. And I love J. Kidd. You know, I think there's a narrative out there about him, probably based on how he kind of forced his way out of Brooklyn. I think it's turned a lot of people off and probably a good reason why he doesn't get a lot of credit, but I absolutely love the job that he's done, and I like him as a head coach.
We've gone 21 minutes, and we haven't talked about the Golden State Warriors, so let's do that quickly. Durant appears to be at least fairly healthy. They're obviously the most talented team in the league. They are a Kyrie Irving shot away from being two-time champs without Durant. Can anyone beat them in a seven-game series?
That's a great question. And it's funny you mentioned that they're a Kyrie Irving shot away from back-to-back. But, I mean, I look at the Warriors like this, and it's going to take a lot of points to beat them in a game, because we know just the firepower that they have. And I look at the Rockets, and I think they have a chance. I don't know how big of a chance, but when you go based on the fact that it's going to take 100 and 120 points four times to beat the Warriors, I look at the Rockets, and they had one of the best offenses in the NBA. And when you look at them putting up all those three-point attempts, they're going to hit a good percentage of them with Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, and all those guys that can shoot. So we know their defense is non-existent at times, especially with Harden. But I think that would be my pick if I had to go right now as a team to maybe upset the Warriors in the Western Conference. And, of course, the Spurs are right there as well. But I'm really fascinated by the Rockets this year.
If I'm Golden State, I want the Spurs to beat the Rockets. I'm with you completely. I would much rather play.
Yeah.
I'd much rather play San Antonio six or seven times if I'm them than have to deal with Houston and the tempo that they play. And when they get hot shooting, they can score with you. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a knock against the Spurs. I mean, they've been in the playoffs 20 straight years, and we know what they've accomplished. But I just think that the matchup that the Rockets present them is just going to be much tougher, because you know with the Spurs you got Kawhi and the Marcus, and then those are your top two guys, and then top two scorers, and then after that it's a lot of role players that, I mean, you can kind of not shut down, but you can limit what they do, and we know that the Warriors have solid defenders, and then we know they have a really great defender in Draymond Green. So, I'm with you. I think the Rockets are their best chance. And if you're the Warriors, you're secretly rooting for the Spurs.
My listeners aren't going to be happy with me if I don't at least ask you about the Memphis-San Antonio series. Big news from that series came out today. Tony Allen with the calf injury, questionable/doubtful for the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
I thought coming into it, they had a shot, they being the Grizzlies, to upset the Spurs. Without Allen, it just doesn't feel like that's a real possibility. Your thoughts on that series, and what is the impact of losing Tony Allen for Memphis?
Yeah, I think that's huge. We obviously know, you know, he's not lighting it up on the scoreboard. He's probably their best defender. You know, you can make the case he is their best defender, but that's what we know. That's the Grizzlies' DNA. Even with a new coach this year, we know they're that grit and grind team that, you know, they're not going to score a ton of points, but, you know, they're going to be right there. And I really do like those players on the Grizzlies. Mike Conley, I think he's probably the most underrated point guard in the league. And then, you know, Marc Gasol, who's puts up triple doubles now and shoots threes. So, that's always fun to watch. But to be honest, I didn't think that the Grizzlies had much of a chance against the Spurs. I know they split the season series this year, but when you take away Tony Allen, I think that chance got a lot smaller as well.
When the offseason rolls around in July, James Harden, Russell Westbrook are going to get an opportunity to sign those five-year, 200-and-some-odd-million-dollar contracts. Do they both sign them? Do they both stay where they are?
That's a good question. You know, I think that they both probably will, especially Westbrook when you know, almost a year later after Durant left, we read things about how he was you know, so just ready to take on the burden that was on kind of split between him and Durant. And, you know, he wanted to be that guy. And when you look at the potential money that will be there for him, you know, neighborhood of 5 years, $219 million. To sign that extension this year, I think that's, you know, that's a hard thing to say no to. And especially sort of what he's not publicly said, but just sort of the way he's kind of acted at times, you know, taking on that alpha dog role with the team and kind of staying loyal to the Thunder, unlike, you know, what we saw Kevin Durant do. So I think that, you know, as we saw that the fans get on Kevin Durant, you know, you can make the case that it's going to happen too with Westbrook and you know, there's been the rumors of Westbrook to LA, this and that. I don't think I buy too much into that. I think that he does stay. And as far as Harden goes, the fact that what helps both teams is that the fact that both of those players signed the early extensions, you know, definitely shows that they're comfortable where they are and they're buying into what each organization is building. So I think that definitely helps both of those teams in the future retain those guys this year.
I read Royce Young's piece as well today. I thought it was really well done. It was very interesting. Is there anything the Thunder can do realistically to build around, assuming Westbrook signs the extension and they say, okay, we this transition's over, Durant's gone, but Russell stayed. Is there anybody out there, whether through trade or free agency, that can come in and be that, the Robin to the Batman for Russell Westbrook, or is their salary cap such that this is kind of who they are?
Yeah, I think that's interesting, and I think that we're not seeing more teams do this, but I think we're starting to the teams kind of evaluate the trade market a little bit. I've seen Stan Van Gundy in Detroit kind of admitted that, you know, they're not going out and signing a star player. The chances of a player wanting to go to Detroit, you know, over, you know, another team that's maybe in a better market or has had better success, I think, are slim. So we're starting to see some of these teams kind of evaluate the trade market. And I think that's probably something that the Thunder are going to have to continue to do. I mean, we saw that on draft night with the Oladipo-Ibaka trade. So I think that that's definitely going to have to be something that they look into. I don't know their salary cap situation right offhand. I imagine they, and especially once if they were to do the extension, and I know they can, you know, kind of maneuver it so certain things go into effect before others, but I don't imagine they'll have much cap space to work with. So I would imagine they start looking at trades and potential players. And I mean, when you got Russell Westbrook and his usage rate at like an all-time high for them, you know, you got to get other guys in there that would be comfortable deferring to Westbrook, and Westbrook would be comfortable deferring to as well. And I don't think that it's just going to be Victor Oladipo in that role too. So there's other guys that they're going to have to find that can handle some scoring duties and take some of that pressure off Westbrook.
All right, last minute with you here, and I really appreciate your time. I'm going to ask two questions. One, who do you think wins the NBA title? Do you think it's the Warriors?
I don't. I think
really?
I think the Cavs can do it again. I think LeBron's got that other gear we saw him take. You know, I don't know how many more seasons he has that extra overdrive gear or whatever you want to call it, but I think we could see them take it. And you know, they played well they played well against them in the one game on Christmas, not so much the second game, but I think I would like to see a rematch again, and from there, I do think they could win, but it's going to be a dogfight, as we've seen.
All right, my second question was going to, because I assumed you were going to say Golden State would win. I was going to say, if not Golden State, who? I'll ask here's my follow-up question. Let's say you're right and the Warriors don't win a title. It obviously would have to be viewed, the season unfairly, but this is life, would have to be viewed as failure. What are the odds the Warriors can keep that group together for another year, given the economic realities of the game?
Yeah, and Steph Curry is a free agent too, and that's, you know, obviously they're gonna have to pay him a lot. He was only making, I think he's making in the range of 11 to 12 million this year, which, considering what he's done, is one of the best bargain contracts in the league. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to – I mean, we saw what they had to do to create room to get Kevin Durant in there, and then imagine trying to do some more maneuvering to keep Steph Curry in there. You know, I don't foresee a scenario in which the big four that they have would somehow, you know, be traded or broken up. But that bench, and they're going to really have to try to sell some of these guys, these free agents, players to come take the minimum to have a chance to win a title.
Well, listen, Cody, I really appreciate the time. I know you're slammed this time of year, and the playoffs start Saturday. And for a lot of us, that means fun. For you, I'm sure it's fun, but it's work as well. So thanks for the time here on this evening, and I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Our thanks to Cody Taylor for his time today on the podcast. The podcast is also brought to you by Strategic Partners and Media. It's a full-service advertising and public relations firm doing business throughout the country. SPM works with companies of all sizes. So whether you are a part of a Fortune 500 company or you are part of a mom-and-pop local startup, SPM can help you. Why? Because their logic is simple. They find a way to tell a story about a client that captivates the audience, and that audience eventually does business with the client. It's that simple. SPM focuses first and foremost on developing a winning and unique strategy for their clients, whether that is through creating and implementing an aggressive digital media plan, whether it's captivating a television advertisement, or crafting a corporate communications plan to get any business through good or bad times. Basically, SPM always can find the right path forward. They mastered their craft in the rough and tough political advertising world. They bring to the table decades of advertising experience, plus a unique perspective to advertising and a tireless work ethic rooted in their days of nonstop campaigns. To reach them, email Austin at strategicpartnersmedia.com. Again, Austin at strategicpartnersmedia.com. The podcast also brought to you by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. Greg Jones and the people there at LB's are fantastic. I dropped in the other day just to get some sausages. I can't recommend the ribeye sausage highly enough. The chicken spinach feta sausage is fantastic. They had a new buffalo chicken sausage that was out of this world. All of that's there. That's before you even get to the fresh cuts, which is what they're really known for. The bone-in ribeye, the filet, the pork, the chicken, everything that's there. They have some stuff pre-seasoned. They have stuff they'll cut there for you. Lunch, catering menu as well. It's all there. And when you go in, there's a beer fridge on your left. Grab a six-pack of your choosing. You can make a six-pack of your own. And then just tell Greg at the counter, say, hey, I heard about LB's on the Beer Garden podcast. That six-pack is $6. So you save $2 or $3 just by mentioning the Beer Garden podcast right there at checkout, and you'll be thrilled with your purchase at LB's. You can call them ahead, tell them what you want, and they'll have it ready for you when you go in, or you can do what I love to do, which is just go in and browse and make a selection. 662-259-2999. That does it for this edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. We'll be back very early next week, hopefully on Monday, with another Beer Garden. Mike Dettillier will join us. It is getting to be crunch time in the NFL draft. Still some stuff happening in the NFL offseason. We'll talk a lot of NFL draft, a lot of NFL, probably get to some college football as well with Mike early next week. Until then, have a great weekend. Happy Easter to everyone out there, and we'll talk to you soon.